Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Continuing the journey of transformation here this morning, I want to start off by just honoring the Lord in his place. I thank Jesus Christ for my salvation. I thank God for what he's doing in my life. And I thank Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, and the leadership team for giving me the privilege of speaking here this morning. I thank my beautiful wife for her support, looking great with a new hairstyle. Come on now. I know she's under pressure now. She's thinking, why did you say that? Why did you say that? But it looks good. And yeah, it's just an honor to speak here. So is anybody enjoying the transformation series that we're in the middle of? Is there anybody who's thankful for it? I know we've had a few reports of where the series has really helped people get through different challenges that they're going through. And I believe that as a church, we are going on a journey, and the transformation is right on time for what it is that we're going through at this time, transitioning to new places. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn to Genesis 1, and we're going to open with some scripture. And we're going to be reading from verse 27 to 28 this morning. Should be on the screen, if not. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for this transformation season that you have us in, Lord God. And Father, we just pray that today you would speak into hearts, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would transform mindsets today, Lord God, and take your church into that next place, oh God. Father, anything that's not of you, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we just ask that your will be done here in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. So the title of the message today is Transforming Your Expectations. Transforming Your Expectations. And I really wanted us to look at Genesis 1, look at this scripture for a particular reason, because when you first look at this scripture at first glance, when you're generally reading it, you look at it and it talks about being fruitful and multiplying. And I know that usually everybody thinks about, okay, this was the start of humanity, and obviously there was only like two people on earth at the time. So they're gonna get busy, and then, you know, there's gonna be the process of reproduction, and they're gonna populate the earth to start trying to populate the earth. But then at second glance, when you really look into it, I started to study the scripture and really break it down a little bit. And I was looking at the word that was used for subdue, because the language that was used, it wasn't just pointing towards taking up space. It was giving more of a slant that God had, not only for us to take the space up on the earth, but a purpose for why we would do that. He wanted us to subdue it. So he had this idea that mankind would subdue the earth. And it was a Hebrew word. It's pronounced as kabas, I believe. And it means basically to conquer. It means to conquer. So God wanted us to not only stretch out across the earth, but also to conquer the earth. So he had a purpose for mankind, not only to take up the space, but go and conquer it. So I'm looking at that scripture and I'm saying to myself, well, maybe I need to look into this whole fruitful thing. Was being fruitful just what I initially believed it was about? And I looked into it and I recognized that being fruitful, it wasn't just that the womb would be blessed and that women would bring forth the fruit of the womb, but it was a word called para, Hebrew word, and it means to bring forth. And God wanted humanity to bring forth. The opening question for you today is what are you to bring forth? Because if something is going to bring forth fruit, that means it has to have seed. So what is your seed this morning? What is the seed that you have? Because when God created you, he didn't create you just to take up space on the earth. He put something inside of you. And I know that there's many people who are sitting here today, and because of experiences that you've had in your life, you're starting to forget about the seeds that God planted inside of you from when you was first born. You may have seen things that didn't go in the right direction. You might have heard things that weren't so encouraging. You might have had experiences that were not so promoting of positivity. And because of that, you've now come to a place in your life where you're not focusing on your seed. Is anybody who once had a dream when they was young? They had a dream. Was any dreamers in the building? Anyone who had dreams? I don't know about you. I was a dreamer. I was looking for big things when I was a kid. I wasn't one of those kids that was just kind of, you know, floating around hopelessly. I had big dreams. When I was playing football, I was going to be the Man United number one player. Come on now. And it was a good team. Now, some people shout out the teams and it's like, what? But Man United, come on, any United fans in the building? I got the mic, so it's okay today. So I was going to be the number one player for Man United. That was one of my dreams. When I got to high school, I started playing basketball and was really good at it. Was almost drafted and scouted for to play in the NBA. Well, to play in America. And basically, I had an injury, not the NBA, sorry, to play in America. But what happened was I had an injury, and that just kind of messed up that dream. And the reason why I want to talk about transforming your expectations this morning is because when you have an expectation for something, and you start to paint a picture of how something is going to look, and then you are actually met with the reality of that season. Because the expectation had you so sure of how it would look and how it would feel and the experience that you would have, that when you meet the reality of it and it's a little bit different, it can be discouraging. You can get to a place where the dreams that you had, the vision that you had, the sight that you had for certain things, they start to dwindle down to nothing. Those seeds that you had inside of you, those things that you were supposed to bring forth, because you're supposed to bring forth fruits. We're supposed to be fruitful in many different areas of our life. I remember when I was praying about the calling on my life, you know, you have that time when you pray about the calling on your life. Lord, what am I called to? What did you call me to do? One of my friends was like, I'm a prophet. I was like, wow. And I could see that God was using him in that way. One of my friends was like, I'm an evangelist. And I knew he was because he was always evangelizing. You know, you ever got those friends that they're always evangelizing? We would go to the gym. I come out the gym, he's speaking to people in the changing rooms. Jesus loves you, bro. I'm like, this guy is serious. I'm just trying to work out. But they knew exactly what they were called to. And what that did is it encouraged me to say, right, okay, I know that God has spoken to them about the calling on their lives. Therefore, I know that God can tell me about the calling on my life. And I positioned myself to really cry out to God to find out. And that I was praying, God spoke to me, he told me different things. But one of the things that God told me is he said, look, you're going to preach to nations. And I was like, praise the Lord, okay. And it happened. I ended up preaching in Italy, ended up preaching in America, ended up preaching in Mexico, preaching in Manchester, preaching in Holland. God did it. And I was like, right, okay, so I've done it now. Now what, Lord? What did you call me to do? And God said, I've not called you to do things, I've called you to become. And I want you to change the way you see things this morning, because God's not called you to do a task. He's called you to become who you're supposed to be. There's a difference. And as you take the journey in life and you start to become who you are called to be, that's when you're going to start to bear fruit. But the warning is that if your expectations are not set in the right way, there's a good chance that when you are in the position where you are to bear fruit and bring forth certain things, because your expectation is not aligned with your experience, you may forfeit what it is that God has for you. And I want us to have a look at this. If we can turn to Numbers 13, and I want us to read verse 30 and verse 33. 13, 30 to 33. It says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" This is when the spies went out, by the way. The 12 spies went out to spy out the promised land. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of the Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight.'" So basically, they went out to spy out this land. 12 of them went out. And the interesting thing when you really study this scripture is you come to understand that there was two possible reports that they could have brought back to the people. Because apparently when they looked into the promised land, the place where they were supposed to be fruitful, when they looked into this and spied it out, they looked and they saw that it was actually the place filled with milk and honey, just like God said. Like it had all the possibilities of them living that life that they was called to live. But also, there was giants in the land. Also, there was stuff in the land that could have prevented them taking possession of it. So I was asking myself, and asking the Lord, more importantly, why was it that they gave a negative report? Why did they give this negative report? It was only Caleb and Joshua who gave the positive report. Why did they give a negative report? And I came to understand that they had painted a mindset towards what the promise would look like. They had a specific expectation. Before they got there and they actually met it, before they saw it visually, before it was in a radius that was tangible, they had already had a picture. God told them about the promise, and they took that word that God told them, and now they've translated that into an experience. They've taken the word of God, and he said, "Right, okay, we're going to go over to the promised land, and we're just going to walk in there just like bosses, like just take over." And then he came, and when it was time, when the opportunity came, they were like, "Wait a minute, there's giants in the land." I don't remember God telling me nothing about no giants. Let's go back to Egypt. It was not too bad back there, you know what I'm saying? We was under a bit of oppression, but I ain't trying to fight no giants. Come on now. But you see, the funny thing was, is even though there was giants in the land, this was the place that they were supposed to be the most fruitful. And I started to think about the whole idea of being fruitful. And God started to speak to me. And he showed me a seed. And he said, "Son, where does the seed start off?" The seed starts off under the soil. The seed starts off in that dark place. Is there anybody in this place that can say, "I've gone through that experience where I'm feeling a little bit lonely. I feel a bit misunderstood. I feel a little bit like I look to my right, I look to my left. I don't know who truly understands me." You can actually have a lot of people around you and still feel lonely. That
dark place. You see, the seed is planted into the dark place. That is the first place that the seed is put. But what the seed does is the seed starts to guzzle on water. That's what it does. Whilst the seed is down in the dark place, when it's in that place where it's all alone, where it's cold, where there's nothing, there's no inspiration, there's nothing to bring forth life, there's nothing that is going to satisfy that seed, it just starts to drink. It just starts to drink. But sometimes when we're in a season when we have our expectations wrong and we are met with the realities that do not match up to what we expected, we can sometimes forget that we're supposed to drink. Come on now. Shando. Sometimes in that season, it's cold. Sometimes in that season, it's hard. And we forget to drink. We're no longer in love with the presence. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I know that in seasons of my life, sometimes the only thing that's kept me going is the presence. On a Wednesday, I come to prayer and I don't even want to be there because I don't want to be around nobody. I don't want to see your face today. I don't want to talk to you today. I don't like you today. I love you, but I don't like you. But when I step in and I'm met with the presence, come on now. You wake up in the morning and today you just don't want to pray. You don't want to seek the face of God today. The enemy's trying to rob you of the presence. Because when you drink the presence of God, when you start to take in that presence, something happens. There's a shift. There's a shift. The second thing that the seed takes in is oxygen. The environment. The environment has to provide a nice portion of oxygen in order for that seed to become what it needs to be. And when you're going through them dark seasons, when you're going through that tough time, is it just me or is there a whole bunch of grumblers trying to find you? Come on now. Is someone breathing life on your situation or breathing death? Because when you're in that season and you have a little grumble, you don't need anybody who's going to be grumbling back. You need somebody who's going to start to speak some words of life into that situation. You don't need anybody who's going to be partnering with you and bringing you down. When your ship is sinking, you don't want no sinking partners. Come on now. The seed needs oxygen. And sometimes when you've got the expectation that things are going to be fine and dandy, that it's going to be all smooth sailing. You see, when we get saved, sometimes we have the mindset that there isn't going to be any challenges. We get saved and we have a picture of like Hollywood, like a Hollywood lifestyle. I'm saved now, everything's just going to run smooth. That's it, no challenges. I know God's blessed me. We start taking scriptures and just running with it. I'm blessed. I'm more than a conqueror. Woo! Come on now. Take the world for Jesus. You are blessed. You are more than a conqueror. You will take the world for Jesus, but not without giants. And you got to know how to drink the presence. You got to know how to get around the right people and have words of life spoken into your life. And you see, when we have the wrong expectations and we start to feel that conflict and we start to feel that what we expected and what we're experiencing isn't adding up, sometimes we don't want to get around those positive people. We start to listen to those words of faith and we start to say that that's a little bit of an over-exaggeration. What you're speaking and what I'm experiencing is a little bit different. I'm a realist. I'm going to keep it real. You can stay with the hairy fairy stuff. I'm going through this. This is what I'm expecting. Can I preach this morning? Because faith doesn't look like the circumstance. Faith is the ability to see beyond. Faith is the ability to see through the eyes of what it will be. If you see through the eyes of what is here, then you can't expect to have anything more than what is here. But when you see through the eyes of what it will be, you're able to then reach into the unseen and bring from the unseen something brand new into the scene. And you have to get around some people who are going to breathe those life words into your situation. You see, the interesting thing that I came across when I was reading about the seed is that a seed will come into a time of blossoming in different temperatures. It comes into a time of blossoming in different temperatures. You see, there's some seeds that in the cold season, they're ready to do the thing. There's some seeds that in the springtime, when it's just getting warmer, they're ready to do their thing. And there's some seeds that in the summer, they're ready to go. But you know what I found out? That there's some seeds that lay dormant until extreme temperature. Extreme temperature. I'm talking about grass fire temperature. And those seeds will then start to do what it is that they were supposed to do. So that means when you look at your life and there's some of those early bloomers around you. Come on now. You ever look and you see that one that just seems to be running in the blessing, just zip, zip, that one's just running in the blessing. You're like, well, what about mine? I challenge that there might be something wrong with your expectation. Come on now. There might be something wrong with your expectation. Perhaps you're more like that seed that is supposed to blossom under extreme temperature. When it gets tough, when it gets challenging, when it gets hard, maybe that's your motivation. You have to be one of those people who can take the hard time and turn that into the fuel of success. You're not supposed to be the one who takes your hand off the mantle now because it's getting difficult. This was the circumstance that is designed for your type of temperament. Is anyone going to be honest and say I'm one of them hard-headed people? I know there's some hard-headed ones in this building. Come on now. There's some cliques up in here. Because some of you ain't blossoming in no cold temperature. Tell the truth. You ain't blossoming in no spring and no summer. Even summer's not good enough for some of you. You are hard-headed. Come on now. You need extreme temperature. You see, but when you have the right expectation, when the challenge comes, when the heat comes, you're not the one that says, God is not with me. You're the one who looks at the giant and says, look, God is with me. Giant or no giant, I'm going to step in and take over and bear fruit. If you're going to clap, then clap. That was pitiful. You see, if you have the correct expectation, you're able to step into a circumstance, and regardless of what it looks like, you're able to lay hold of what it's going to be. You're able to look at it and say, this situation, even though it looks impossible, I already know that Jesus Christ is on the throne, and therefore it is done. I don't know how. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. You know, I've had so many situations in my life that I've looked at and I've just had to literally laugh. I have to laugh. I'm like, there's no way that through any human wisdom that this situation is going to work out. There's just no way. But you have to be numb to those senses because you have to be at a place where you say, look, I just trust God. And because he's never let me down, he isn't going to let me down. I know that it looks crazy, but he ain't going to let me down because the first time when I was crazy enough to trust him, he never let me down. The second time when I was crazy enough to trust him, he never let me down. So the third time, come on now. You see, the children of Israel, they had already seen the mighty works of God. They saw it when they was in bondage. He delivered them. He brought them out. What is it about us humans that we're quick to forget? We're so quick to forget. hard-headed. That's why broad brings the extreme temperature for you. They saw it. They saw the miracles. They saw God's work. They saw his hand. They saw that the enemy was ready to take them out. He parted the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. Is there anybody in this place that's been through some turmoil and seen God's hand faithfully step in and turn that thing around? Hard times. Times when you didn't know how. Times when you couldn't see the way out. And God stepped in and he did something. He did something physically. He did something in your soul. He did something spiritually. Come on now. God's at work in the season, in the situation. But now you find yourself looking at the promised land, and then you find yourself looking at the giants. Forgetting that. Forgetting what he did. You see, we see something different in Numbers 14 because Moses and Aaron, they just had enough. They was like, these people are just complaining, man. Something funky going on with these lights. Moses and Aaron just had enough of it. They was like, I don't know what is wrong with these people. We have brought them out. The Lord has brought them out faithfully out of slavery. We're looking at promised land now, and these guys are scared of a little fight. What's wrong with it? And they fell down on their faces. And he said, you know what? We just don't know what to do. We've come to that place of despair. I bet Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky's been like that with us. It's like, oh my goodness. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. What's wrong with them? They're not catching it. They're not seeing it. Thank God for faithful leaders, amen. Numbers 14, 5-9, we see that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people in the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. You see, Joshua and Caleb, they had a different expectation. They had a different expectation. Something funny is going on in the background. What's happening? They had a different expectation. They looked at the exact same situation as everybody else, but what they expected was not a situation that didn't have challenges, that didn't have giants, that didn't have dark places. And you see, if you have your expectation right, if you're somebody that says, look, you know what? I know that I've been called to bear fruit. I know that God has called me to bring forth something. I know that God has placed something on the inside of me. You know that there's so many people, even right now, sitting in the room, that the reason why your life is not looking the way the Lord has called it to be is because you've given up. And the reason why you've given up is because you hit a little bit of a challenge. You couldn't deal with a little bit of challenge. You couldn't deal with the giants in the land. Can I keep it real this morning? There's going to be giants in the land. It's that simple. God told them that they were going to take possession. He told them that they was going to take possession of this land. But there was giants there. That's the one thing that I love about God as well, is that the fact that he don't hide it, it just tells you as it is. I gave you the promised land, and yeah, there's giants in there. Have a good time. Because God doesn't need to remove the giants in order to give you the victory. He doesn't need to remove the giants in order to give you the victory, because when you look and you see the giants, you should laugh, because you should say, there's no giant bigger than my God. There's no giant bigger than my God. You see, I recognize in order for the seed to be successful in breaking through, There was some stuff that it had to apply. You see, it's a very useful thing that when the seed is breaking through the soil for its breakthrough, it actually uses a bit of its shell because it doesn't want to be damaged as it breaks through the soil. That means the seed is able to take something from the past and use it for its victory. How well have you prepared yourself for your victory? The stuff that you've been through, you wasn't just supposed to go through it. You're supposed to take from it. And you're supposed to use that to better prepare yourself for the season that God wants to take you in. You see, God didn't take you through something for nothing. He took you through something to make you who you're supposed to become. I know that God isn't happy when he looks down and he sees people throwing away the opportunities, throwing away the open doors, throwing away the things that is laid before them just because they came up against one or two giants, just because there was a little bit of delay. We need to be more resourceful in how we use what it is that we've experienced and what we've been through. The second thing that I recognize is that a lot of people, when they expect it to be a certain way and it isn't the way they expect it to be, they can't deal with the change. They can't deal with the change and the transition. The people were looking at the promised land and saying that it's different from what we've experienced. We've not been through that yet. We've been back in Egypt where we were just programmed on how to do things. Do this, do that, or get the whip. Your choice. But now we've got to think for ourselves. We've got to step into this place that's just full of space. And sometimes people get afraid. They get afraid to step into the unknown. And the thing that I recognized about the seed is when it breaks through the soil, it has to now adapt to its environment. It can't live how it lived in the old season. Before, it had to live off the water that it drawn from the ground. It had to live off the oxygen that was against the soil. But now it's got to get out into the atmosphere and it's got to learn to live in the atmosphere. It's brand new up there. And people are scared of the new thing. People are scared to step into the new season. I don't know what it is that God's called you to do, but I know that God's called you to step into something. Because in this room, we've got pastors. In this room, we've got evangelists. In this room, we've got business owners. We've got great sports personalities. We've got people who are involved in music. We've got people who are talented in many different ways, drama. But what it is you are hesitating because you're scared to step in. Scared to step in. Scared to step into the change. What would they say if I step into this place? What would they think if I step into this place? Have I got what it takes to step into this place? But the plant just has to break through the soil and say, I've got to get ready for this new atmosphere. And if you want your breakthrough, you've got to be a person who is ready to step in. The final thing that I'm going to mention in regards to expectation is that as you step into that place where the giants are, when you step into that place, you've got to be a person that learns to obey God's voice in a way you have never done it before. Because when you examine the plant, when the plant breaks through the soil, what does it do? You see that it looks for the sun anywhere. You try and hide it from the window ledge, that thing will start leaning. You see the plant with the gangster lean? You go in someone's house, you know when the plant's not been in front of the sun because it's got that gangster lean, like, I'm getting that sun, bro. I don't care where you put me, I'm going to get that sun. Because the plant knows what's good for it. It knows what it needs to be nourished. And when you step into that new place, that new environment, when you step into that place where you're supposed to bring forth fruit, there's going to be things that God says that doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense to your mind. You're going to listen to these things and you're going to say, I'm not getting it. But you have to be a person that obeys it because you know what's good for you. You got to be the person who chases after his word and chooses to apply his word just based on the fact that you know it's good. How many people in this room know there's a time in your life when you didn't apply his word and now you are feeling the brunt? Come on now. Can anyone be honest in this place? Come on now. I know there's more. You know that you weren't supposed to do that thing or act that way or go that place or say that thing. You know it. The Lord told you don't do it and you thought you was bigger and better and then you felt the brunt of it. Come on now. You looked at it with what you thought was wisdom and said, nah, listen, I'm bigger than this situation. I can do this and still up, skip out of this or cool. You got caught in the net. Because there ain't no wisdom like God's wisdom. And when you step into that place, you're going to need his guidance like never before. You see, he's trying to train your obedience right now. He's trying to train your ear right now. He's trying to train the way you respond to what he says right now, because what he has for you is going to require you being on a different level of obedience. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called or calling to his purpose. You have to get up in the daytime ready with that expectation of the day. You might not understand why things are going crazy around you. You might not understand why that thing that God has spoken to you about that you're expecting to be so glorious, why it seems to be hit with 1,000 challenges. But you need to be a person that looks into that promise and says, I don't know how, but I know that he's going to turn it to the good. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I know there's some people whose expectations were hit with the reality that hurt. So I don't know about you, but when you're trying to step up into that promised place and then you see giants, that's a little bit of a gutting feeling. Like, we've been walking, we're thirsty. Food's not really been cracking out here the way we expected it. Wasn't like Egypt. It kept feeding us at least. But now we got to step into this promise and there's giants, so we got to fight. We got to fight now. I wanted you to just hand it to me. You said it was a promise. Just hand it to me. You see, I want to encourage you this morning that, listen, whatever it is that God has spoke to you about, you know what it is in your heart. You know God has promised some things. He said he's going to answer some prayers. There's certain things that are going to take place in 2018 that's going to blow your mind, people. But what it's going to take is going to take you stepping in to a situation regardless of it not feeling easy. It's not going to feel easy. That's the lie. So let's just get into a place of worship this morning. Just start to speak to God right now about that thing that... Just start to speak to him about that place you know that he's ready to take you, that spacious place. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to be fruitful in your industry. He wants you to be fruitful in your business. He wants you to be fruitful in your ministry. He wants you to be fruitful in every single area of your life. He wants you to bring forth fruit. He wants you to be who he's called you to be. But there's going to be challenges. There's going to be giants in the land.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.